And Holy Spirit, we just welcome you into this place today. Man, Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter. I talked earlier without my microphone on, but Jesus had given the disciples instruction and told them, go to Jerusalem and wait. And if you would, turn in your Bible to 1 Peter. We're going to pick up in 1 Peter where we left off last week. But as we talk about Pentecost Sunday, I thought it was so important that we understand that we need to wait. And we need to wait on God sometimes when we're ready to go full steam ahead. We need to wait on Him. So, Pentecost Sunday. Go and wait. And we talked last week about, in 1 Peter and the instruction and the letter that he was writing. And we talked about, what do you call the rock? What do you call the rock? And the rock was the one that the builders rejected, the chief cornerstone. And we said, is he the chief cornerstone for you? Is that what you call the rock? Or is the rock for you a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2? And I really want us to look and say, where is Jesus in our life? Well, he's here with us on Sunday. Okay, that's great. Now, the rest of the week, are you toting around that rock of offense? Or are you pushing it in front of you, that stumbling block? Or is he still the chief cornerstone that forms your decisions and forms your actions day in and day out? And 1 Peter talks a lot about that in the letter that he was writing. And we want to pick up in chapter 4 of 1 Peter. And we're going to skip, and no offense, we're skipping the submission to husbands and a word to husbands and wives and all that. That's not intentional. I mean, that is intentional, not because it's a husband and wife thing and I don't want to touch on that. That's just for another time. Right now we're going to 1 Peter chapter 4. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, he's talking about suffering for right and wrong, Christ's suffering and our suffering and how it compares. He says in verse 1 of chapter 4, therefore, since Christ suffered for us, Christ suffered for us, and in case you don't know that, he did suffer for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So he's telling us we need to have the same mind of Christ. Christ suffered for us in the flesh. We also should do that. And when we do that, when we crucify the flesh, we're no longer in sin. Just for clarification, he's not saying you'll never sin again. He's saying we're freeing ourselves from sin. Every time we crucify the flesh, we're freeing ourselves from sin. And we no longer are bound to that. And we're not in bondage to that sin. It says that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. And that gets back into on Pentecost Sunday, or Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were told, go to Jerusalem and you simply wait there. You wait there. We have to understand that God wants us to wait every now and then. And it says, but for the will of God. The will of God is for us to listen to Him, to have conversation with Him, right? So we want to be sure that we're doing these things for God and not for ourselves and our own fleshly lust. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. He's acknowledging that. He's saying, hey guys, we've already spent our time doing that. Many of us that are older may look back and say, we've been there, done that. Don't waste your time doing it, young people. Not worth it. We wasted enough time on those activities. And it has no benefit. Other than fleshly benefit, possibly. And that's no benefit and isn't honoring God and pleasing to God. It says, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge in living, the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. We've talked about many of these things before. He says, but the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious. Your parents ever say that? They're trying to tell you something, and you're joking around and laughing at them and say, be serious. Understand what I'm saying. And it says, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Why? Have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Do you understand what they're saying here? Love will cover a multitude of sins. It doesn't make things right, but it allows us to forgive. It allows us to get past. It allows us to move on sometimes. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Lord, I hate to slow down and dwell on this, church. Be hospitable without grumbling, without complaining. The Bible talks about sins, and we always want to compare sins. And it says, do these things and be hospitable without grumbling. I'm not going to ask for you to raise your hands or anything. But do we not get enough grumbling at home or at church or at work or at school, on the highway, sometimes nonverbal? As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. God has given us all gifts, and we're called to minister it, that gift, to one another. Well, I don't feel comfortable. Well, I'm shy. God didn't give just the bold people a gift. God gave us all gifts. And it says, serve one another, minister to one another. Why? As good stewards. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God in His grace and mercy has gifted something to you. And usually many gifts or multiple gifts. And He says, share this with one another. Minister this to one another. Give this to one another. Because when you do that, you are a good steward of what He has entrusted you with. We talk a lot about being good stewards of our money. God has given us money and expects us to be good stewards. Remember the story about the talents. The ones that did something with that and the ones that hoarded that or buried that and were afraid to lose it. And so they just hung on to it and did nothing with it. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. There's going to be some better and some worse. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And he goes on and says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Church, we talked about this last week. You're going to run into trials, this group over here. Okay? You're going to run into them. I hate to break the news, but you're going to run into trials. You're going to run into trials. Okay, we're all going to run into trials. Being God's children doesn't say you will never run into trials. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened. My Lord, I attend church, I teach, I give, I do this, I minister, I sing, I play, whatever it is. Why has this trial come upon me, Lord? And I just picture God up there going, I just want to see you show your true colors, Adam. Okay? I told you guys before, in my secular job, I try and be very careful. Because I have a coworker that attends here. And I try to be very careful in my actions and my words. Not just so I'm not busted, but because that's my character. I got a little sideways at work the other day, a little out of character. Oh, I could justify it and say it wasn't crazy, but I was frustrated by a situation. And I thought, then afterwards, what happens? You feel this big, and you got to spend your time going around and apologizing. And you think, oh man, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I act that way? The guy's up there scratching his head going, well, again, I just want to see your true colors. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to remind you, you haven't yet arrived, Adam. Don't think you have. Don't think because you have a title of pastor that you've arrived. He says, we all have a finish line to cross. And our race is different. And until we cross that, it's not done. Now the goal is the same for every one of us, to be Christ-like and be ambassadors of Jesus Christ and cross that line in the same manner. But some of us are this close to it. Some of us are that far. Some of us are outside and haven't even come in the building yet. And they're that far away from it. Do not think it something strange that has happened to you when you come across these trials. It says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. When was the last time in a trial you thought, this is what it was like for Christ to have suffered on the cross and be beaten and spat upon and hung between two thieves? No, we just call out to him, Jesus, why are you doing this to me? But this says, man, we should look at it differently. When we go through these things, rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. That means transition. That means transformation. That means wisdom and knowledge is coming. Remember last week we talked about it's not okay just to be in his house. It's not okay just to hang out with our brothers and sisters, with his people. We have to spend time in his presence. And by the way, when you talk to him and you yell at him, that doesn't mean you're spending time in his presence. And you're just talking to him and yelling at him sometimes. Now, sometimes in his presence, we do yell at him and talk to him. But we also listen to him. Rejoice, church. Rejoice in your trials to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad, not just with joy, but mine says with exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. He wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us not to just have joy, but to have exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Okay, I think we can rule most of us out, hopefully, in the murder and the thief. Evildoer, that's a matter of what you may think. Oh, that last one is a busybody in other people's matters. Get out of it, church. Stay out of their business. Don't take up their fight that's not your fight. That's not biblical to do that. I'm here on behalf of so-and-so. If you're not an attorney representing them, stay out of it. As a busybody in other people's matters. My Lord, it was going on way back then too, church. It's not new to this church. I don't mean this church. I mean today's church in general. It was happening back then. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. When we suffer and people say, where is your God now that you're going through all that? Man, we should stand up straight and proud and say, man, he's the same place he always was. Where? On the throne. You see, my God doesn't tell me I won't go through trials. He doesn't tell me I won't go through tough times. But when I do, he tells me to rejoice. When you do, he says, man, on your part, he is glorified. The scriptures say, what good is it if you get beat for something you deserve? You deserve it. Nobody's surprised by that. But when you don't deserve it and you take that beating and you stand up strong, it says, then you show who you are in Christ. If you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God. I feel like we're missing the glorifying God in our day-to-day lives, church. And again, I'm speaking to prayer of faith, but also globally, as a church in general. We forget to glorify God in the things that we do. It is very easy. We're going to glorify God with new grandchildren, with new nephews, with new jobs, with marriage, with different things. It's easy to glorify God in those times. And again, it's going back saying, nobody is surprised by that. Because you should be happy. You should be glorifying God. What will shock them is when you glorify Him, when you lose that job, when you face a health crisis, a financial crisis, a death, that you're able to stand up and say, I'm hurt and I'm sad, but I know my God still reigns. I thought back Friday 30 years ago when I lost my father. 30 years ago Friday. And the shock that that was to our family. And the hurt and the loss that was to our family. I thought 30 years ago seems like yesterday when I really sit down to think about it. My father is as close as you guys are. He's as close as you are, and he's as close as you are. I could almost reach out and touch him. But I thank God for the life that he lived and for the example that he gave me, even though I didn't follow it for many years. As a pastor. And as a man that taught us as children, his children, to love one another. To love strangers. To not be afraid of them and to reach out to them and help when you can. When we can glorify God in our hurt and in our sadness and in our loss, those are the things that God says, I see your character coming through and it's strengthening. And I'm glad that your heart didn't harden through your trials. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And it says, now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. I'm going to close real quick with chapter 5, just a brief recap. And it says, the elders who are among you, I exhort you, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger folks. I got two to look up. Okay. Likewise, you younger folks. It says, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. It says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about you, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know the enemy is out there. We know the enemy is trying to devour us, trying to harm us, trying to separate us. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Again, church, he's saying, don't think of this as a shock when you go through trials. Oh, and by the way, when the enemy comes knocking at your door and you open it and see him, don't be shocked then either. Because many people are going through that. But may the God of all grace perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so he wrote this letter to the churches. This is to many churches, to an area, Asia Minor, Turkey and those areas. And he wrote the letter saying, I know you've been through stuff. And by the way, the church is fairly new now. So I want to help you along. Church, we talked about many things in here that should be part of our daily lives. Seeking his will. Glorifying him. Acknowledging him even through our trials and our struggles. Seek him when the enemy comes near. Quit blaming one another when it's the enemy. He said, oh yeah, by the way, listen up. Submit to one another. Humble yourself. Oh, he'll acknowledge you and raise you up in his time. But it's his time and it's his will. And we need to understand God's will is way different than our will. And the sooner we get in line with that, the more blessed we'll be. Remember, in this life here, it's temporary. In the very beginning of this, as a matter of fact, oops, let me get back there. Oh, where am I? Let's see here. Maybe I'm thinking about another book. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, but he's talking about to the pilgrims. And he addresses them as foreigners or sojourners or visitors. This life is temporary. Everything we do here and now, that's for our next life. Everything we're doing here now should make an eternal impact. But this is temporary. Likewise, the time we spend here, we want to be sure that it is a benefit to the kingdom. And we're doing and getting busy being about kingdom work. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are thankful today for your word. We are thankful today to be able to study it freely and openly. God, we just ask you to show yourself. Reveal yourself to those that can't see. Heavenly Father, today we ask for lives to be changed, to be transformed, for decisions to be made. We're going to take just a moment to pray, to allow you guys to pray and to speak to God. Heavenly Father, we ask you just to hear the prayers of the people. Lord, for those that desire transformation, that you would give them strength and boldness. For those that need to make a decision, Lord, that you would give them strength and boldness to make those decisions. Lord, we ask you to be with us this week, throughout the day, that we would ask you to lead us rather than for you to follow us, where you're in control and not us. Help guide our actions, Lord. Help guide our mouth and our words that we speak to one another. Let us reflect your love and your light in everything that we do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.